Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Don't Think Like My Brother department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, that's good. Well, this guy didn't think like either of us. He thunk good, as they say. And I'm referring to none other than Dr. Albert Einstein.
Well, we know he did some very famous thinking about physics.
You know? Like the theory of uninvited relatives.
That's the guy. But anyway, someone sent us a list of quotes attributed to Einstein about other topics, and it turns out he was a pretty smart guy about a lot of other things.
Yeah, for instance, here's one.
Go ahead.
He said, "The difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits." Did he really say that?
Well, could be like Yogi Berra. He didn't say half the stuff he said. "Put your hand on a hot stove for a minute, and it seems like an hour. Sit with a pretty girl for an hour, and it seems like a minute." That's relativity.
Here's another one. "You do not really understand something unless you can explain it to your grandmother."
Well, that's true.
I like it.
Now, here's something that you could have said, too,
yeah,
but Einstein beat you to it probably by a few years. When Einstein's wife asked him to change clothes to meet the German ambassador, he said, "If they want to see me, here I am. If they want to see my clothes, open my closet and show them my suits."
Another one. "Once you can accept the universe as matter expanding into nothing that is something, wearing stripes with plaid comes easy."
You ready for this?
That's
a little equation. If A is success in life, then A equals X plus Y plus Z, where X is work, Y is play, and Z is keeping your mouth shut. Look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Barbara Little, and I'm from Kalamazoo.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I got a gal in Kalamazoo.
What's going on?
I drive a VW Beetle. It's like a 96, and I've been driving it for a little over a year now. And I never noticed before, but since summer came and it's been really hot out, I notice every single time I turn the air conditioning on and I come to like a stop sign, or I slow down a lot for a turn, my car makes a really crazy, kind of scary noise that kind of sounds like it's just going to explode on me or something. It sounds like an old fan that's about to, you know, bite the dust or something. It kind of goes, brrr, it's super, super loud, and it's really scary. So.
And does it make the noise the entire time that you're stopped?
Yeah.
So you didn't buy this car new?
No, it's actually my sister's, and I'm borrowing it. She was in New York for a while, and I got into a car accident, and so...
Yeah, so you're borrowing it now?
Yeah.
It's time to give it back.
Except that you said it was at 96, and I don't think they made this car in 96.
No, it's a 98.
There you go.
That's better.
Okay, what's a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
And this happens when you slow down or come to a stop?
Yeah.
Right. And it'll continue to do it unless you turn the AC off.
Yeah, once I turn the AC off, the noise stops.
Well, it sounds like you either
need... exactly what you said it was.
Yeah. What'd you say it was?
She said it was a fan.
well, like a house fan. Like, you know when your house fan
it's louder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is a fan that is running all the time the AC is on. Okay? And the fan is when you turn the AC on, the fan turns on to cool off the condenser.
Okay.
And it could be that the fan may have just a bad bearing in it, and it may be worn out. And after 9 years, I wouldn't be surprised if that fan has failed. We replaced quite a few of these.
Yeah.
Okay.
But worse than that, it could be that the air conditioner compressor is giving out.
Oh, let's hope not.
Or falling out.
Falling out.
Well, if it were falling out when it was on, it would, you know, when the belt is turning it, it would in fact, make a lot of vibration. Do you feel vibration, or you just mostly hear it?
Hear it.
You mostly hear what I think is probably the fan, the cooling fan. You know, it's a plastic fan driven by an electric motor. And when you turn the AC on, the fan runs. And in fact, you might be able to make the noise, okay? Turn the car off. Turn the engine off. Turn the key back on, but don't start the engine, okay? And then turn the AC on. Now, the AC won't work, but the fan will come on.
And you'll hear the noise.
You'll hear the noise, and you'll know what it is.
And I'm with my brother. I believe that you will hear it.
Okay.
All right? And then you've got to take it someplace to have him replace it. Because it's not the fan that's at fault. It's actually the motor.
You have to return the car to your sister.
Right, and say, next time, don't give me a car that's making all these noises.
So you deal with it.
But you've got to fix this for her. It would be the nice thing to do.
It would be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, don't be like my brother. He would just return the thing to me and say,
I wouldn't. I would take it right to the junkyard.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good luck, Barbara.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Zelda in Hammond, Indiana.
Zelda?
It's not Zelda, it's Zelda.
With a V.
With a V. My mom is Zelda.
Zelda was the name of Mike Hammer's secretary.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
In the Mike Hammer series.
Yeah,
Mickey Spillane, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that, yes.
Yeah. Well, and where'd you say you were from, Zelda?
I'm in Hammond, Indiana.
Hammond, Indiana.
Outside Chicago.
Wait, Chicago's in Indiana, too?
Well, they just moved across the border.
They moved it like the Alamo. All right, Zelda.
What's up?
I'm calling about a problem with a 1988 Toyota pickup truck.
88.
A 1988 with 53,000 miles. We're the original owners.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who's we?
My husband and I.
Okay.
And when the truck is cold, when I've just started it up, it sputters, it bucks, it dies, it sends black smoke out of the tailpipe.
Sounds kind of like my brother.
My car, you mean?
No, you.
And it smells like it's running really rich, you know, like you can smell gas.
Yeah.
And it, at times, backfires so loudly. I mean, it's like a gun. I mean, a couple of times I've actually thought that I've been shot. I've, you know, checked.
Really?
Just that loud.
Excellent.
And it's been doing this for over a year. And
over a year? You're just getting around to calling us now?
Well, my husband works on our vehicles, and he's tried lots of different things, and we're kind of, you know, at the end of the road with it. And
well, give us some of the ideas that he's tried, because we need to, considering how old this vehicle is and how long it's been since I've looked under the hood of one of these things, I think we need to be kind of reintroduced to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one more critical detail.
Yeah, yeah.
When you start it up cold, you drive it for 10 to 15 minutes, and it gets warmed up, and then maybe you're at like a stoplight, and you turn it off, and then you turn it back on, it runs like a watch. But now, if you didn't do that and you kept driving for like half an hour or 45 minutes, it would be running terribly.
Really?
Okay.
See, I was homed in on an answer for this until. Now, how predictable is that little procedure?
Very.
Very.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Very.
Very, huh?
Well, what were you homing in on?
Well, these.
Because I was homing in on something also.
Yeah, your sandwich. I noticed. No, these carburetors have something called an auxiliary accelerator pump, and there's a little diaphragm on it, and if it leaks, it will, because it's operated by vacuum, the vacuum will suck gasoline from this leaking diaphragm right into number one cylinder of the engine and foul that plug and make the thing run on three cylinders.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, without warning, the thing will fix itself up, and the reason it happens without warning is that when the engine finally warms up, the vacuum to this thing ceases, and then that fouling situation stops.
Uh-huh.
So the extra gas isn't getting poured into that cylinder. But for the whole time that it is, this thing will run terribly. It'll run really rough, and that's also causing you backfiring. It's pouring unburned gas into the exhaust system, and the combustion will take place when the gas has reached a critical mass. They'll take place inside the muffler or inside the exhaust system, and it sounds like a cannon going off.
Oh, my God.
You've got to be careful not to drive your car around really old people. Don't drive near nursing homes or rehab centers or anything like that. You could bump people off left and right with this thing.
However, I am confused. It's been going on for a year.
A little over a year, yeah.
Well, until you replace that diaphragm or pinch off that vacuum hose, the problem's not going to go away.
Replace the diaphragm or pinch off the vacuum.
It's called the AAP diaphragm.
AAP diode.
Now, I could be wrong, but the only reason I mention this is we replaced dozens and dozens and dozens of these on all kinds of Toyotas over the years.
Well, dozens and dozens of years ago.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it's the only thing that I remember about this thing, so it must be relevant.
Okay, so this is something then that you've heard about with these vehicles or that you know
about. Not just heard. We discovered the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the things that he had done, like replacing a fuel filter to see if maybe some junk got in.
Yeah, that
would.
Oh, no, he's on the periphery here. He's going to dive right in. And this diaphragm is actually very easy to replace.
Okay.
Does he have the, what do you call the service manual for this truck?
I think he does, yeah.
If he does, he should find out where this AAP diaphragm is and unplug the vacuum hose from it while the engine's running.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does that, he'll see gas dripping out of it.
Okay.
And as soon as he does that, the engine will begin to run on all four cylinders.
All righty.
I mean, this is the only piece of advice I could help you. This is the only thing I remember
about
an 88 Toyota pickup truck.
And it sounds like a good fit.
It's lucky.
Yeah, it is
you
lucky.
You had that question.
Good luck, Velda.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
See, now,
bye.
She's been struggling for a year with this problem. All she had to do was call
us. Hey, took us 2 years to figure it out. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gordon from Melrose, Florida.
Hi, Gordon.
I got a 1995 four-wheel drive Jeep YJ, and I've had it about 6 months, and I've had a few little problems with it that I'm trying to fix myself. The latest one is this particular problem gives my mechanic the heebie-jeebies.
Huh.
He says that when he tested after, let's see, what I had the front brakes fixed, he said, you've got steering wandering problems. My steering just, he says, you go down the road, it wanders.
I got news for you. Every Jeep has steering wandering problems.
Well, the problem is, he says, this one gives him the heebie-jeebies, and he says, I got to replace the steering box, the tie rod ends, the ball joints, and the steering dampener for it to go away, and I'm trying to do the work myself. So my question is, if I'm doing it myself, which do I replace first, and how do I get through all this?
You do everything at once. Take everything apart.
While the steering box is expensive, it's probably $300 or $400 to buy one of those things.
Yeah, well, I think I've seen it for as low as $200. So
yeah,
this is, obviously has power steering.
No, it's not. It's manual.
Oh, okay. So that would make it cheaper. So you have a steering box, you have a center link, you have two tie rods, which consists of a left inner and outer end and a sleeve, and a right inner and outer end and a sleeve. And you can just go and buy all this stuff at the Jeep dealer or a parts store.
What about these special four-wheel drive magazines? You know, they have all this, rock crawling stuff.
You don't need that.
No. You drive on rocks?
My rocks are in my head, my wife says.
She's probably right.
She is probably right. And I think the most critical thing here is likely to be the steering box, and I'm guessing that that's the one that's worn the worst.
Okay.
So if you're going to do that, you might as well do all the other stuff, too.
Okay.
Did he mention ball joints as well?
Yes, he did. He said tie rods, ball joints, and the steering dampener.
All right.
Oh, and the steering box, too.
Yes, yeah.
And the box.
Right, all four.
Yeah, did he give you a price?
No, not yet. I said I wanted to, think about it because I just paid money for the brakes.
Oh, because doing the ball joints is not easy on this thing.
No.
Oh, really?
That's why I asked about ball joints.
Yeah, now the ball joints ain't easy. You have big hammers?
I've got a 2-pound sledge.
That'll do it.
Might. It might. But you might want to have him do. I mean, the steering box is very straightforward.
Right.
Although,
that's the thing you could do.
Although getting the pitman arm off the steering box requires a puller, which you don't have.
No, I don't.
So you could wind up not saving a nickel because you're going to have to go out and buy a pickle fork to get the tie rod ends off.
What's that called?
A pickle fork.
That's not something from a restaurant, is it?
No.
No.
Okay.
Then you're going to
have... Well, you could use the one in the restaurant, yeah.
Then you're going to have to get a ball joint press to get the ball joints out of the steering knuckle.
Oh, mercy.
That ain't easy. That's going to cost you a couple $100.
No, I don't want to pay that.
All right, so here's what you do. You're at the mercy of this guy.
Yeah.
Take it in. He's going to charge you $1,500.
And he'll do everything.
Pay him.
Okay.
Because the alternative is you're going to spend $900 on tools, you're going to smash up every knuckle imaginable.
Yeah, and you'll never.
And you're
going to
miss a week's worth of work, and your wife's not going to talk to you for a month. Good luck, Gordon.
All right, thank you.
See you later.
All right,
man.
Bye bye.
Well, sometimes you just don't know what a job entails.
No, I mean, it is good that he wants to learn, but there are some things you shouldn't learn on.
Well, and you
like things that are going to crash the car.
Well, and it would be nice to learn how to do this stuff on a friend's car.
Ah, exactly.
And especially if that friend had all the tools.
All your brother-in-law.
Like I did on your car.
Oh, your brother.
The jobs I learned on your car.
Yeah. You learned how to do a valve job on my car.
Hey, I was only 12. I had to... It was either that or get in trouble. Look, it's time for us to take a short break.
Yeah, and when we come back, what happens then?
Well, we give a quick prayer of thanks that NPR didn't cancel us during the station break. And then we'll discuss marital communication strategies.
Hey, right up my alley.
Yeah, dead end in your case.
Well, stay tuned, because in addition to that, we'll have more of your calls, so don't go anywhere.
Dude, I'm a Sadie. Do you know what it's like to see you? And I'm a Sadie. Are we in awe, or are we all just rude, dude? And I'm a Sadie. Dude, I'm a Sadie. Do you wish you were the owner of a Porsche? Of course I wish I was. On the Autobahn. With my high beams on behind you, dude. And I'm a Sadie. Hey, dude. Hey, dude. Oh, listen, dude. Hey, dude. And I'm a Sadie.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new on-air book club for mechanics. This month's selection, the 2001 Daewoo Laganza Shop Manual from NPR, NPR member stations, and...
Travelocity, with customer support available all trip long, so you'll never roam alone. Travelocity.com or 1-888-TRAVELOCITY. And...
Allstate now offering accident forgiveness, and this reminder not to drive like my brother.
Or like my brother.
More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
And even though Alberto Gonzalez wishes he slapped us with a lifetime cease and desist order whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and how to talk to your wife. I know this is something that you've had a lot of experience with.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was sent to my wife by a friend of hers, Andrea Levitt. And I think it was intended to be a guide for men on how to talk to your wife or girlfriend just before a certain time of the month.
Or all month long in the case of my ex-wives.
Well, folks, now you know why my brother keeps a live-in divorce lawyer in his spare room. Anyway, here's what to say and what not to say. Listen up, guys.
Okay.
Okay, the first one's about dinner. Here's the most dangerous thing to say. What's for dinner?
Huh.
Here's a somewhat safer thing to say. Can I help you with dinner? Hmm. The safest thing to say. Where would you like to go for dinner? And ultra safe. Here, have some wine.
That's good. I like it. Here's one about her day. Dangerous. What did you do all day? Yeah, that's not good. Safer than that is, I hope you didn't overdo it today. Safest. I've always loved you in that robe. And ultra safe. Here. Have some wine. I like it.
How about food? Specifically, dieting.
Oh.
Dangerous. Should you be eating that?
No, it's bad. That's bad. Even I know that.
Safer. You know there are a lot of apples left.
Mm.
Safest. Can I get you a piece of chocolate with that? And ultra safe. Here, have some wine. And chocolate.
Give me a copy of that. I'll try it on wives number 3 and 4.
Great idea. Anyway, there's no puzzler this week because what? The puzzler, as you may know, is still on summer vacation.
Yeah. You know, we actually got a postcard from the puzzler.
A postcard?
Yeah. Really? This actually came to the office this week. Want me to read it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Click and Clack, having a wonderful time in Paris because you're not here. The food and wine are great, but how come a country with 400 cheeses can't make a decent cup of coffee? Back soon, the puzzler.
A little sassy for an inanimate object, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. Well, while the puzzle is away, you can always find one of our old favorite puzzles posted at the website cartalk.com. You ready for a call?
Not really, but since the alternative is talking just to you, I'm ready for a call. 888-227-8255, which also spells, ready for this?
Yeah.
888-CAR-TALK.
What are the chances of that?
Amazing, isn't it? Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from New York City.
Hey, Steve. Hi. What's happening, man?
Well, I have a 91 Toyota Tercel that my mom gave me in December. In great shape. She never drove it. 60,000 miles on it in 15 years.
Oh, man.
It's a perfect New York City car, isn't it?
It's perfect. Yeah, I can actually parallel park it here.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of the year, I've had to put in 4 alternators. They've all been rebuilt, and they've all failed. And I wonder, is there something in the system that could be causing that, or is it just a series of bad rebuilt alternators?
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing in the car that could be causing the alternators to fail.
Where are you buying them?
At the garages that have repaired them where the car breaks down.
So in every case?
It's been a different garage?
Yes, one in New York City, one in Missouri, and one in upstate New York. And I don't want to add another one to that list.
Yeah.
And how many miles are you getting on these alternators before they have to be replaced?
Well, I've put about 3,000 miles on the car since I got it.
Yeah, that's 750 miles an alternator. That's not bad. You're better off buying some gerbils at the pet store.
How about just a glass of wine?
Well, something is wrong, and if it were one station that were doing it, and one repair shop, I would say, well, maybe they bought a bad bunch of alternators at the parts store, or maybe they're doing something wrong, like over-tightening the belt every time.
Okay.
But that's not the case, because 4 different places have done it. And
thank God. They've all been under warranty, so I've only had to pay for the first replacement.
Ah.
And have you asked anyone besides us to offer a reasonable explanation?
Why go to anyone else?
Why go to anyone else?
Because we're free. I'm with you.
Jeez, I mean, there isn't much. I mean, for example, You can't screw up much, and the you can't ask the alternator to make more electricity than it can make. In other words, there can't be really anything wrong with the car that would make the alternator burn out.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine. I mean, I hate to say this, but whoever putting these things in, there's not a big market for alternators for 91 Tercels, and it may be that they're just a cheap junk.
Okay.
And they're failing because unless someone is over-tightening the belt, but it would require that 3 different people over-tighten the belt.
Yeah.
You may have exhausted every bad alternator east of the Mississippi.
And the Job of alternators.
Yeah.
You may be. So you may be ready, Steve, for a clear run from now on. You could get 100. You could get 250,000 miles out of the next one, making the average alternator for you last 50,000 miles, which is typical of a rebuilt alternator.
Okay.
But I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think there's anything you're doing wrong.
Okay.
And I don't think there's anything that the installers are doing wrong. I think it's likely to be the alternator itself. And if you want to escape this cycle, you might want to try going and getting one from the Toyota dealer.
That's a great idea.
All right. See you, man.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Thank you.
888-CAR-TALK.
I should be so lucky.
You should.
That everything that breaks on my car would be under warranty. What are the chances of that?
When was the last time you owned a car that had a warranty? Let's think about this for a minute.
Well, I mean,
let's go back.
I know what it is.
Let's go back in time. What are you driving now?
77 Fiat.
Okay, you buy that new?
No.
No, because there's no warranty. Put NW next to that Fiat. Okay, before that.
52 MG.
52. The warranty hadn't been invented then. Okay, no warranty in the MG.
No warranty.
Before that?
Dodge Dart.
What year was the Dodge Dart?
63.
Okay, you bought that in 73. No warranty on that unless you had the 10-year daily warranty. Okay. What else we have? Before that, the Caprice Classic?
Yeah, that might have been it.
That might have been it. Yeah, the one with the animals living in the back.
Yeah.
No warranty on that. Let's keep going. What else did you have?
Prior to that, I had that AMC thing that I gave to my first wife.
Oh, you had a Rambler American Wagon.
What a great car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What happened to that company anyway?
I don't know.
No warranty.
But then I swapped that for the sleek Black Beauty.
Oh, yeah, the 65 Ambassador.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh. You had a warranty on that.
I did.
Because you bought that brand new.
Brand new.
You must have had a job then.
Huh?
So we can. I did. So this I is had like this. Job. You know what this is like? This is like an archaeological dig. we're finding out about you through your cars.
Of course.
So when you last a working, productive, contributing member of society was 1965. Since then, you've been
a bum.
And a slacker.
Yeah.
And you've relied on the good offices of your brother. Oh, boy. It's a wonderful life, isn't it? Okay. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Sarah, and I'm calling from Salt Lake City.
With an H or not? Oh,
I'm going to guess with an H.
With an H. The only way.
Okay.
I have a 1999 Accord with the V6 engine that has about 89,000 miles on it. And it has started doing this sort of lurching thing between first and second gear. So the
automatic transmission.
Automatic transmission. But it feels like when you're in a stick shift and you haven't let the clutch out quite fast enough and the RPMs are revving and then eventually you let the clutch out and the car just jumps out from underneath you. Does that make sense?
Yes. I understand it perfectly.
So it used to be kind of subtle. Like, I moved out here about a year ago from a place that was really flat into this really hilly neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And shortly after I moved here, it started doing it. And it was really subtle at first. It wasn't this big lurching thing. But it's gotten worse over time. And it doesn't do it between any of the other gears, just between first and second. And it's otherwise just a great car, but it worries me that there's something wrong with the transmission. And I don't really know anything about transmissions except
that they're
really
very expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is going to cost you about $4,000.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. The guy at the oil change place is like, he drove it around for a while and said, well, you might need this little timing thing, and that's really cheap. Or you might need a whole new transmission, which is $3,500.
Yeah, don't even ask the guy at the oil place.
I would say you need to go to the Honda dealer for a couple of reasons. It sounds to me like this is the beginning sign of a future major transmission rebuild.
Oh, that sounds bad.
That sounds bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
And here's the data that I base it on, that Honda has had trouble with these transmissions in these Accords.
Well, I heard there was a recall on some of them, but when I called the company, they said it wasn't on my model or my year.
It's after your year. But it may be that it's the problem that exists in the later models just took longer to appear on the earlier models.
So it might be that if it's that kind of problem, I could still appeal. Like, it just seems like I don't have enough miles on the car for it to have
Is the check engine light on, Sarah?
No. I've never seen the check engine light.
Yeah,
you've got to go to the dealership.
Really?
Yeah. If there's any hope of it not costing you $4,000, they're the only ones who have the hope.
Oh, you could have the oil change guy do it. He only gave you a price of $3,500. Now, I give even worse news.
Okay. Perfect. I'm excited. Let's hear it.
No, but it's not worse for you. It's worse for me. My 97 Odyssey has started doing exactly the same thing.
Oh,
no, really?
Yeah.
So do you think it could be something minor?
I don't know. I turned up the radio and put a lot of air in the tires, so it's a real bumpy ride now, and the radio's loud, and I'm trying to ignore it. But then again, my car is on the way out, and yours has a lot of life left to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly been highway miles. We've lived in places that we walk most of the time.
Oh,
and
it's
don't
nothing
drive
you
it
did.
All that much. And
I would throw yourself on the mercy
of the dealership.
Of the dealership.
Yeah.
And say, look at, well, you know, we're in love with this car. We've bought nothing but Hondas for, you know, the last 108 years in our family. And we want to continue to buy Hondas, and we want to see if there's anything you can do in this regard.
Okay.
It may be a software problem. There may be something with the computer. You know, the transmission shifting is controlled by the computer. Yeah. But generally when that's a problem, the check engine light would come on.
Okay. Does it matter? Do you think it has anything to do with having moved out here from into all these hills?
Everything. It has everything. Where did you move from?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Well, the car may just be
flat. Also very humid and very dry here, and I wondered if that had anything to do with it.
It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with how you drive.
There's no way I can blame this on my husband.
Oh, you can always do that.
No, you're not at fault.
No, you're innocent completely. Okay. If there's anything wrong, it's the car that's wrong, not you.
Yeah, and see what they'll do for you.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Let me know how you make out because it may have some bearing on my Odyssey.
Okay.
See you, Sarah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Chad from Minneapolis. And
Chad?
Yep.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm the proud owner of a 1984 Vanagon, and I bought it for a dollar, and it is a piece of beauty. We call it Big Blue, and it's big and blue, but we got a couple problems with it. Electrical problem, there's a little bit of an oil problem. Antifreeze seems to be leaking a little bit. The odometer and speedometer doesn't work. I got a coat hanger for an antenna, but my biggest problem...
Wait a minute, what kind of a band are you in?
I don't know how to sing, and I can't play an instrument, but I'd love to be in a band.
Oh, you'd love to be in... So you bought this thing, why?
I got four small kids.
Oh.
And the problem comes in with the safety of the kids. See, my wife doesn't think that the car is very safe because it doesn't have the lap belts. I mean, it does have the lap belts.
It doesn't have shoulder belts.
Can you get the shoulder strap belts on there?
Jeez, boy, probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
What if you gave each of them a beach ball to hold?
There's another idea. I hadn't thought of that one.
Never thought of that one.
No, I mean, I don't. You're not going to find anyone.
No one's going to want to do it.
Because the liability is so great. For example, if someone were to put in the proper anchors for, you know, for shoulder belts, you know, and the things failed in an accident, which is the only time you're going to, there's no way to test them except to have an accident.
Yeah.
And if one of them failed and something god-awful happened, then that person would be responsible.
Right.
Your wife is right.
My wife is right. She's absolutely always right, gentlemen.
I know.
Of course. All wives are always right.
Doesn't that frost your shorts?
All my wives were always right.
All right, so then she wants me to sell it.
Yeah, well, you ought to be able
sell
to
it.
You ought to be able to. you might have to take a half a buck for it.
Well, I mean, if you
get my money back?
Well, you can drive this thing.
Yeah, I mean, are you using it primarily to drive the kids around?
Well, I've got a smaller car that I can run around. I got a little Mazda 626. So this was going to try to be a family vehicle.
I think it's a bad idea, and I agree with your wife that it's not. And here's the problem.
It's not a family vehicle.
There are, you know, 30 years ago, or 25 years ago, or whatever, this probably wasn't that dangerous, even though it didn't have any of the... If we had the same conditions today that we had 25 years ago, yeah, I wouldn't be so concerned, but we don't have the same conditions. And what I mean by that is there are so many SUVs and trucks on the road that the risk is much greater today driving around something that doesn't have the same kinds of safety features that all the other modern cars have. You're really taking your children's lives in your hands by driving them around in this thing.
Yeah.
And there's more traffic, and there are
100% right.
And there are more vehicles that can kill you than there ever used to be, and the numbers seem to be growing. You know, so if we all drove little vehicles, you'd be at an advantage because you'd have a bigger vehicle. But now your vehicle isn't bigger; it's smaller, in fact, than most of the other vehicles out there, and it's much more vulnerable because you don't have any of the side curtain airbags or the proper seat belts. You don't have anti-lock brakes, so you're gonna have to move up to at least the 20th century. You know, this is like 19th century. This thing. So
yeah,
I know
yeah,
it was a great deal, and you hate, and I know your instinct is, well, it was only a dollar, and it's got a few things wrong with it, but it could really be good, but I don't think there's any way to fix it to satisfy your wife.
Yeah.
And that's what really counts.
Yeah, you're going to find some kid that's got a band.
Right. I think if you painted it with interesting colors, the band guys would come looking for you.
Oh, they'd love it.
I put new tires on it. I put a little bit of money into it, but maybe I can get it back.
No. I just leave the keys in it. Maybe somebody will just take it. Good luck, Chad.
Thank you.
Look, it's time to take a short break.
Yes, and when we come back, I'm going to share with you a suggestion from a listener that will change this show forever.
For the better?
What other direction can it go in?
Well, never say that. You never know. All right, look, so when we come back, we'll have that suggestion, and we'll take more of your calls.
So don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Trying to make this old car go. She's burning all every mile she go. Watching the gas gauge dripping low.
roll down the window, feel the hot wind blow. I gotta see the palm trees one more time. Salt water washing over friends of mine. See some old faces I left behind. Maybe see a girl who used to think that she was mine. My car can't do much but stop and go. She got two speeds, mama, fast and slow. I get a little help from a prayer. I know it's just got three words, mama. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. Go, go, go.
Support for Car Talk at NPR comes from the Oil, Filter, and Corn Dog Special we're running at the garage from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide and proud supporter of NPR music podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness and a reminder that switching radio stations increases your chances of an accident.
See, we always told you not to flip.
More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
SitForLess.com, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including the new color, True Black. SitForLess.com. And
the Union of Concerned Scientists, a science-based nonprofit working for a healthy environment and a safer world. Hybrid vehicle comparisons are at hybridcenter.org.
And even though electric car antennas quickly retract whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a brilliant suggestion.
Yeah, this comes from a listener named Gene, who says this. Hey, guys. Instead of welcoming each caller with how do you spell that, where are you from, and all that, why not welcome people by saying, is your check engine light on? I think this would speed things up a little and get you guys on the right track sooner. Just trying to be helpful. Gene.
An excellent suggestion.
Well, let's do it for the next few calls and see what happens.
Okay, let's get right to it, man. If you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number here is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Is your check engine light on?
Absolutely not.
All right, who is this?
This is Heidi.
How do you spell that?
How do you spell
that?
It's H-E-I-D-I.
Oh, okay.
Where are you from?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
All right. Well, that's what you get. Really? Is your check engine light on? Because you might have missed it the first time.
No, but I think when I lived in Boston, I actually ruined a car driving on Huntington Ave every day.
Ah, that'll do
it. Oh, really? You lived in Boston. What made you leave Boston?
Employment?
Well, I actually just didn't like my job. Not the city.
Oh.
Okay, that's okay.
Sure.
Where were you born?
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, this has really sped things up.
I know. It is. Much faster.
Go ahead.
I have a 2003 Toyota Camry,
uh-huh.
And I get this strange sort of pulsating grinding, but it only happens when I'm braking really hard and hitting like a pothole or a bump at the same time.
And it's a pulsating and grinding.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Did you buy this car new? No.
No.
How long have you had it?
About 4 months.
Did you get with it an owner's manual? You did. Did you read the owner's manual?
No,
of course not.
Did you? Is it in the car?
Yes, it is.
Okay. When you finally get around to reading it, go to the section called anti-lock brakes.
Uh-huh.
And you will find out. It'll describe, I think, exactly what you described to us.
Maybe
when you are going maybe a little bit too fast,
mm-hmm.
and you hit something that changes the traction of the wheel, so that maybe one wheel is grabbing less than another.
Right.
Okay. What it'll do is it will try to diminish the amount of brake effort that's going to the wheels that have good traction to equalize them with the wheel that has the poorer traction.
So that you don't go into a skid.
Sure.
And what'll happen is you'll get this grumbling kind of, it's kind of scary.
Right. I just sort of assumed that it was ABS, but something going wrong with the ABS. But that's
no,
what it should feel
it's
like.
It's something going right with the ABS.
Oh.
Right. It's working exactly the way it's supposed to work. And for most motorists, it's like, what the hell is that?
Exactly.
Because it is kind of scary. In some cars, it's really severe, and there's a lot of pulsing in the pedal. Because what you're feeling is those solenoids that are directing the flow of pressure. You're feeling those going on, off, on, off, on, off. And that back pressure is getting telegraphed right into your brake pedal.
Right.
So that's why you feel that pulsing in the pedal.
Okay.
But it's perfectly normal, unless it's doing it when you're not stopping, in which case it isn't perfectly normal. But if anything goes wrong with that system, usually the light gets turned on.
Right.
You know, so
if
the
light is not on.
No. And it's and some cars will actually let you know when the ABS is being used, that, you know, the light will flash.
Right.
But usually you're busy looking out for telephone poles and the like when that's happening. So it's fine, but read the book, and it'll give you some insight into what else it does.
Okay.
All right?
Excellent.
See you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Did you ever have a car that had ABS?
Every one of my cars has had ABS, at least in the last decade or so. Have you ever had a car that...
No.
I didn't think so. 888. Tommy, we've got to bring up at least to the 20th century. I understand your reluctance to enter the 21st century, but can we get you like a 1999 something or other?
What for?
You're right. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Is your check engine light on?
No.
Okay.
What's your name?
Ed from Hartford.
Ed.
Okay, we're with you.
Oh, how do you spell that? No, we know the Ed part. How do you spell Hartford? Anyway, what's going on, Ed?
Well, about a year and a half ago, I bought a 2000 Saab 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to the store and park my car, go in and shop, usually with my wife, and mm-hmm. we would come out, and my car would be very crooked in the space.
Huh.
And it kept happening. And it started.
You weren't
bothering
lined
me.
Up with the lines, in other words.
Your car wasn't parallel to the two
exactly.
lines.
Exactly.
Right.
I was within the lines, but I was always crooked,
yeah.
mostly really, really crooked.
Huh. So nobody was moving your car. In fact, it was you.
It was me.
Yeah.
It was me. And I would get out of my car and look, and it would be crooked. And I'd say, what the heck is going on? And I would straighten it once, and then every now and then I'd have to get back in and straighten it twice.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like I'm out of my mind, but
yeah,
my
it
wife.
Does.
Now, we're slowly coming to that conclusion, especially after you got that letter from your wife.
My wife had the same problem, and she says, well, you know what the problem is? The line of the top of the door is such that if you line that edge parallel with the car next to you, your car is going to be crooked. And I think she had something there. And so I started trying to compensate, but it hasn't been working. I don't know. You know, I've developed sort of a parking envy because I'd go in the garage and I've noticed, you know, some people I work with, you know, park perfectly every day.
Hmm.
And there's mine over there and it's crooked. And
well, here's what you should do. I think you're not likely to be able to correct this because it's a visibility. You're not seeing out of the car. Do you have any other problems driving the car? I mean, do you feel, have you run anyone over or, you know, cut anyone off because you can't see out correctly?
No. But I'm a very cautious driver. I don't even get into situations where I would cut people off.
Mm.
Well, I find there is some, we test drive a lot of different cars, and there are some cars that I have great difficulty parallel parking, and part of it is visibility, but part of it also has to do with the steering radius. Cars that have a large steering radius that, you know, that take a lot of area to make a turn, I often have a problem parking because if I'm accustomed to being able to make that adjustment at the very end, when you're ready to finally pull in, you say, oh, I've got to go a little bit this way, a little bit that way. If you can't do it because the wheel is already cut all the way,
yeah.
Sometimes you wind up pulling into the place crooked, and it's crooked such that the tail end of the car is always winds up closer to the guy on your right. That's
okay.
The way it always winds up for me.
Yep.
So what I'll do then...
You guys are wacko.
Yeah.
You're as crazy as Ed. What are you guys talking about?
No, it happens. Now, what you can... Now, so you're not likely... You're not going to fix the steering radius, and you... and especially since most parking lots... and garages have really made the spaces very narrow, so it exacerbates the problem that you can't get in.
Oh.
So what you need to do is ignore it and make everyone else park on an angle like you. So you
or just maybe take a much deeper trajectory.
Right, or take two spots. No, but
okay.
if you get to work early, Ed, and you park your car so that it's like at a 30-degree angle, then everyone else who comes in after you has to do the same thing.
Well, they know how I drive, so they don't park next to me anyway.
Okay. You have a reputation then.
I'm not the greatest driver to begin with.
Oh,
well, we already determined that. But it's okay. I mean, but this car has a big turning radius. I think that's part of your problem, and it has, you know, questionable visibility.
Yeah, it does.
So the best thing you can, if you approach the parking spot from the left side of the road, and then the turning radius becomes less of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, if you can make a wide swing, pretend you're driving a semi.
Yeah.
Put one of those signs on the back of your car. This thing makes wide right turns. but that's what if you make a wider turn, you'll be able to line that thing up so you're right between the lines.
Okay. Well, you might have just relieved a tremendous amount of stress in my life.
Oh, I hope
that.
So.
Yeah.
I doubt it, but send us a photo of your parking prowess.
I might just do that.
Yeah.
All right, Ed. See you later, man.
Thanks, guys. Love your show.
Thanks.
See you, Ed.
Bye,
okay. Bye.
Hey. I have something for you that we got in the mail.
Yes.
A listener named, what's this guy's name? Well, it might be a guy, it might be a woman. Chris Dunham sent this in, and it's a sticker that's going to go on your car. And you've probably seen these oval stickers from time to time that denote maybe a person's heritage or their country of origin. You've seen them for Ireland and France and England and all that. And yours, this is especially for you, although he sent two, I think I'm not ready to have one of these. This has for you the letters GZR. German, no, what do you think? Geezer! And we got two. We're going to put one on the front bumper.
Oh, good.
You have a front bumper anymore?
No.
Okay. Put them both on the back
bumper.
Put
them right on the headlights.
Just to alert people that you're behind the wheel. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Is your check engine light on?
No, that's not come on yet.
What's your name?
This is Robert from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee.
Soddy Daisy?
How do you spell that?
S-O-D-D-Y.
Soddy.
Soddy. D-A-I-S-Y.
Soddy Daisy.
Soddy Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy's growing in the midst, amidst the grasses.
Yeah,
well, that's kind of a charming.
And where is Soddy Daisy?
Right outside of Chattanooga.
Oh, okay, we got it. Well, I'm glad we get that straightened out. Well, it's been nice talking to you, Robert. So what's happening?
Our company bought a used pickup truck, a 1990 Ford F-250 XLT, 43,000 miles, mint condition, as we're waving to the elderly couple to drive away and thanking them and everything for.
Did you happen to witness them laughing up their sleeves? Never mind.
No. Waving to them as they're, smiling and everybody's happy. I say goodbye, and she says, "Goodbye. Take good care of Mark." And I kind of cock my head to the side, and she said, "Mark, the truck's name is Mark." And I think to myself, of all the things that she could have told me, drive safe, put unleaded gas in it, don't go over 65.
She had to tell
the
you
the truck
name.
Being named Mark is the one that really just cut to the bone and cut to the quick.
Yeah.
Because I've always had a vehicle that's been named a female.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, I thought all great vessels were female names, and I'm wondering if I can change the name of the truck, feminize it, or change it to a female, and not cause the truck any psychological, mechanical problems.
Oh, so you think if you decide to change Mark to Marcia or Mary or something like that, that
it's not going to respond or
have an identity crisis.
I've never understood the idea of giving a vehicle a name.
No.
I've never had.
Now, to be fair, Tommy's called his vehicle some names.
It always started with you, Snow Good.
But they actually.
There's a level of respect and a dedication, I think, that comes to it. I'm going to take good care of her.
Right. I think
she's going to take good care of me.
Well, I'm not so. I'll tell you, we have seen plenty of junk boxes in our shop that have had names.
Yeah.
So I think naming a car doesn't necessarily ensure that it's going to be taken care of and treated with respect. So you have this thing, and you've had it for how long, Robert?
We've had it for about 4 weeks.
4 weeks. And has anyone called it by name?
We did once, and then in front of the truck, and then we've had a brainstorm at the shop and came up with Marcy as a feminization of it.
Well, I think Marquis might be better. I don't remember if there was an actress named Marky Post.
Really?
Yeah. And so Marky, he could just think it's a cute name, but he might not realize that he's had a sex change.
Yeah.
So you name your vehicles as a matter of course. I mean, has it
all the time.
Really? Can you share with us some of the names that you've had?
Well, the first one, it was a Eclipse, and her name was Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And how many others that you could mention to us? You share with our listening audience? It's all right. You don't have
but
to.
But it doesn't.
Well,
I'm going to
tell you, if the roles had been such that I were in this car, and this old lady had said to me, take good care of I've never named a car in my life.
Yeah. No.
If she had said to me, take good care of my son, yeah, right, okay, see you later. And that would have been the end. I wouldn't have given it another thought.
Another thought, really?
No, I mean, your car, your truck doesn't have a soul. I mean, it isn't a being. It's a mechanical device. And as such, doesn't deserve a name. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack about this.
Well, I've never given a name to a vehicle, never.
Well,
I don't understand why anyone would do it.
But lots of people do it, and because we don't understand it, we're going to ask our listeners and people who visit our website to help. So we're going to open up a discussion area on the site.
Ah.
Because we're eager to know how many of our listeners name their cars and what their reasons are for naming their cars.
And whether they are male or female and roughly how old they are.
Well, I think more women name their cars than guys.
I do, too.
I think that's for sure.
Yeah.
And more than that, I want to find out if people at least believe that they take care of their cars better. Because they've named them. Because now if you name somebody, it's like it's a member of your family.
Sure.
If one of your kids was named, you know, Mark, would you not feed him?
Right.
Well, anyway, Robert, I would stick with Marky for the time being because I don't think he'll be able to tell.
Okay.
Yeah, and Marky could be a female name.
Excellent.
And we'll keep you posted on what goes on. Well, you can check the site
yourself.
Yeah,
I'll go check it out.
All right, man. Boy,
thanks for calling.
These tough questions are killing us. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David Gibraltar Green. We also had help this week from Aaron Wax. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the East Tahiti, Baked Stuff Ziti, Extra Meaty, Frosty Weedy, and Rio Needy Free Lunch Treaty with your ex's new sweetie, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Vernight. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed. Our martial arts trainer is Anita DeGroin. Our physics graduate student is Laura Venertia. Our anger management coach is Kirsten Hollard. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the bankers selling subprime burritos in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of this show, which is number 735, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we're giving away free bumper stickers that promote cell phone free driving.
You can't get one by calling a toll-free number?
No.
While driving?
No. But you can get a Drive Now, Talk Later bumper sticker very easily. Find out how at the safe driving section of cartalk.com. So Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
KNN, providing an ecological alternative to disposable air filters designed to last the lifetime of each car. More information at knfilters.com. And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness with a warning for people who eat greasy double cheeseburgers while driving.
Hey, I don't do that. I get the triple.
More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though world health officials go on high alert for foot-in-mouth disease whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.